Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is from John's Revelation, the 7th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And He is the good shepherd who guards over His own sheep, and He shall not lose one, not even of the great multitude. Our Jesus is the good shepherd who lays His life down for the sheep. The sheep hear His voice and they follow Him even unto the heavenly places. I mean, really, when you think about it, when you hear it, when you focus on it, when you imagine it, the scene in John's Revelation today is beautiful. In fact, if you're a good student of biblical stories, you may recognize this from another area, from the Gospels. When the people were there in Jerusalem and they heard that Jesus was coming to them in peace, riding on a donkey, they streamed out of the city with their palm branches and laid their cloaks down on the ground and shouted out, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna is this Hebrew word, and it means save us now or save us, please. They cried out that day, that Palm Sunday, for the salvation of the Lamb. And they cry out in heaven the same thing. Not that Jesus would save them now, but that Jesus has saved them now. When it says these words that they had in their mouths, salvation belongs to our God, it is saying that God, our God, has saved us with His salvation. He has listened to our cries and He has sent the Lamb to bring us to where He is. And when all of heaven hears these words, they fall down on their faces and worship God. They are amazed at this mighty deed. 1 Peter tells us this. Concerning this salvation, the very one that the people have now cried out about, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. The prophets were told of the salvation coming in the Christ. They were looking for Him and they wrote down everything that they knew for your sake so that it would be preached to you. And it says that the angels longed to study these things as well. The word there is they were curious. They're curious about how the very Son of God who created them would come into this world and take on human flesh and save all of creation. And here then, in our reading, the angels hear the words of those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Their curiosity is sated. And they fall down in worship over these things. They cannot help but worship the God who orchestrated such a salvation, a plan that they had been observing for millennia. And finally, when it comes to the culmination of it all, they're amazed at the God who saved them, or created them and saved humanity. And now one of the elders comes up to John, and he asks him to tell him what he's seeing. Who are these? Yes. But John doesn't really know, and he doesn't really quite understand everything. It's not that John doesn't really get what's going on. It's not that he doesn't understand the actions that are taking place. It's that what he's seeing makes it so that he's not fully knowing all of the symbology. He understands the salvation of Jesus. He lived it. Literally, he lived through the death and resurrection of Christ. The only one of the apostles standing at the foot of the cross, he saw that. He saw the resurrection. He saw the ascension. And 60 years later of living with this ascended Jesus, John is now brought into heaven to see this vision. John sees that. He knows that. But it's as if he doesn't understand what's going on with this great multitude. Because what he's really seeing, it's kind of amazing. He's seeing you and me. This is the only place in all of Scripture that you are written into the book. John sees you in heaven, part of the great multitude, all those saints whom Christ has saved, and from all space, from all time, and you are there worshiping at the feet of the Lamb. And this sight is so overwhelming to John, it's like he can't understand it. He can't believe it. And I think we get little glimpses of this. I don't think we'll experience the fullness of this until we get to where Jesus is. But we get glimpses of this in our life. And the first time I remember feeling like this, I was in high school. We had gone up to visit Concordia up in Ann Arbor. For their Christmas Boar's Head Festival. And we walk into this beautiful chapel, beautiful stained glass everywhere you look. And there's so much pageantry and festival going on. And the place is just packed. And it's hot. And there's an excitement that's in the air. And there's a beauty that surrounds you. And all of a sudden, the hundreds of people who are there open up their voices. And we sing together, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And it's an incredible feeling. Because you're there, you're overwhelmed with this sense of love and unity, and everything strikes you in that moment, and you think, if I died now, I'd die happy. And that's a great thing. Now imagine you're John, and you are surrounded by literally every Christian from all time, from Adam and Eve to Abraham to David to Micah and Malachi to Matthew to Mark to Luke to Paul to your great-grandparents, to you, to your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And imagine what that feels like. Imagine in that moment you see and you can feel the enormity of what it is that Christ has sacrificed and who it is that he did this for. Imagine you can see each and every person who has grasped onto the grace of Christ Jesus. Just imagine this. It's an incredible scene. And it's one in which we are promised the life which is to come. Through the blood of the Lamb, you will be welcomed into his resurrection. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we are welcomed into eternal life through him who loves us. And will serve him. And will not hunger nor thirst, will not be burned by the sun or any kind of heat. He will be our shepherd. And he'll guide us to streams of living water. And there we will drink our fill. And there'll be no more grief because there's no more sin to cause it. And there'll be no more sorrow because there's no more sin to cause it. And there'll be no more sadness because there's no more sin to cause it. What a beautiful thing. And John sees all of this. He sees it for you. He sees just the beginning of it all for you. But to get there, you have to come out of the great tribulation. Now, yes, I will admit this word. This is what I so lovingly call the wacko Christians grab onto and preach. Remember, they preach about things like the rapture and the Antichrist and the tribulation, that time that's coming, the 7 years when we all disappear and then all of a sudden people try to find Jesus and they get this second chance. And they're all wrong. That's bad theology. That's not a hopeful theology. And I would say no one in all of Christendom has believed that except for maybe the last 100 or so years. Because the tribulation, John says, is now. You are living in the tribulation now. The time when the devil is the prince of this world and the whole place is going to pot. The world attacks you in every which way, and demons try to lead you astray when you're trying to choose right from wrong. And the sin that's within you, it desires sin instead of God. In fact, it leads you to avoid and reject God. Your very own nature betrays you before God, and it makes you choose the evil. And you do. We all do. On our own, we do not have the strength to make it. You just don't. You will choose evil because your nature is evil. You are evil. But you are a saint in Christ. You have washed your robe and made it white in the blood of the Lamb. And it's not your blood, and it's not your sweat, and it's not your tears that make your clothes sparkle with purity, but the very red crimson blood shed by the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. That makes you clean. It sets you free. And more than that, it gives you a promise. Even though you may be led astray by sin, even though you may be troubled, even though you may be grief-stricken, you might be sad, even though you may have chosen evil over good, the Lamb promises to you the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith, that you might come out of this time of tribulation and enter into eternity. The Lamb promises He will make you clean. The Lamb promises you forgiveness. The Lamb promises you life, the very life that He has, the very life that He won. Grasp onto that promise, for He can do it. And the reason for that is He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So He is. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.